or AccuWeather.com. I'm Sally Sherman.
News Radio KONP presents the Todd Ortloff Show. Now from Port Angeles, it's Todd Ortloff.
All right, welcome once again to the program. First segment today, it's really kind of hard to believe it's this time, but we're going to talk about the Joyce Days Festival, the Wild Blackberry Festival, also known as Joyce Days. It's happening this Saturday, which is kind of hard to believe that August is here, and that means the first weekend, and that also means Joyce Days. With me is John Kent, who is the chair of the committee on things organizing for Joyce Days, to talk a bit about the big Blackberry Festival, the Wild Blackberry Festival out there. John, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
And here we go again. This is, I don't know, what year is this now? Do you know?
This will be our 36th annual
wow.
one.
All right. So Congrats on that.
Yes.
It has turned into, in fact, I was just talking to our guy in the newsroom today, Pepper, who's about this, who knows about it. And I was saying, you know, this is the ultimate small town festival.
It is.
We don't get these things much anymore.
No.
So I always encourage people, go out there just to experience what a day in a small town is all about.
Yes, yes. Small town festival, and that's what makes it, you know, unique. You know, you come to the ones in Port Angeles, you know, big and, you know, large and, you know, trying to find a parking spot and things like that. And everybody seems to enjoy coming out to Joyce for it, for the festival.
So it pretty much is a whole day on Saturday. So let's kind of talk about it. Things get started about 7 in the morning with what is actually one of the more popular events, the pancake breakfast.
Yes, yeah. From 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock at the Crescent Grange is our pancake breakfast. That's kind of what we start off the activities with. At 9 o'clock is when I open up all the vendor booths. You know, they're all pretty much in the downtown Joyce area, you know, by the Joyce General Store. And they're there from about, you know, until around 3:30. Across the street, the Crescent Fire Department will have their trucks out there for display. And new this year, the Joyce Emergency Planning and Preparation Committee, they just recently bought a portable kitchen to bring out. So they're going to have that there and on display for everyone to see. And around 9 o'clock, we'll start collecting pies for the judging. And that'll take effect at 10:30 for the actual judging itself. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start, you know, selling the pies after that. And in the meantime, you know, people will be lining up down at the Crescent School to get lined up for the parade. And that'll start at 1 o'clock. That's also the big draw.
That's the big thing. Yes,
yes, everybody wants to see the parade. You know,
literally shut the highway down and take over for about an hour, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's unlike, you know, the Port Angeles one, it's only about a half mile, so it's not too bad. And we do have a detour that goes down a bit of a gravel road, so please go slow. And that usually lasts. I don't have the numbers yet of how many participants, but usually around 35 people.
Yeah.
And it's for the vendors. I'm still collecting applications for them, but I got 60 spots set up for vendors.
Wow.
So that's the biggest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's got to be the biggest amount of vendors potentially. Yeah, good.
So they must like it because they keep coming back, I don't charge much, you know, for a vendor to be a participant. So they keep coming back, so that's what we like.
Now, you got a full line of entertainment, too, that goes on all through the day.
Yes,
so I want to highlight some of what people can catch.
Yeah, Dave and Rosalie, they're there every year. They lead the music. This time they have the Olympic Mountain Cloggers. This starts at 10:30. Then we have Wanda Bumgardner, Jim Hansen and Friends, and of course, you know, Luck of the Draw, that's Dave and Rosalie. And then cheering contests are after the parade's over with. Then we'll finish up with Just Friends. So that's live music, and that's in front of the museum, which is also where we sell our pie slices. And that's pretty much the biggest thing. We talked about the parade, well, the pies, that's what it's all about.
And you need to get early to get the pie, because this is the warning I give folks, is if you think you can just drift out there late in the afternoon and get a slice of this pie, forget it. That stuff sells out quickly, doesn't it?
We do run out, and, you know, in recent years, it's been about 230 pies, and we divide them into six slices, so 230 times six, that's over 1,300 slices. And they're still gone.
Yep.
But so, yes,
Well, that's what it's all about. It's the Wild Blackberry Festival, and how else do you eat that but in a pie, right?
That's right.
I know you're probably not hands-on with the making of the pie, but it is quite an operation. Maybe you can explain to folks that. I mean, this goes on for a few days before. These are very fresh.
Right. Yeah, we got the community. They're all around picking up the wild blackberries, and they bring them to us. And then the Crescent Schools donated their kitchen for us to bake them there. So Holly Rose, she's the chairman of the pie committee, and she has a crew down there, and they spent Thursday and Friday baking 230 pies.
Which I've seen this, and it's crazy. I mean, it really is crazy. And I think that's why they sell out, though, because they're absolutely fresh pies. You go to a lot of festivals. Come on. I mean, they may try to pawn these things off. They've been in a freezer for a year, probably.
Exactly.
Just been warmed up for the for the event, not at this one as well.
Right.
So you do raise some money by doing this as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, most of the fund, stays locally. Every year for the last few years, we've been given awarding three $1,000 scholarships to a Crescent High School.
Which
student,
I think that's just great. I mean, this whole thing just goes right around the whole Joyce community there.
Right, it stays there,
And I think that's really fun. How did you get involved with this, John?
Well, I've only been a Joyce resident for the last 8 years. I'm a transplant to this area. And the reader board in front of the Grange had on their Joyce Days meeting, Volunteers Needed. So at that time, I didn't have nothing to do, so I started volunteering. I was helping out the vendor chairman at the time, and then once he got me trained, he decided to go to his high school reunion, so I took over that position. And then a couple years later, Julie Hatch, she was the overall chairman, she decided to step down from that position, so I took over that.
And here you go.
And then last year, she also stepped down as the parade chairman, so I have the overall chairman and a couple different subcommittee chairmen, so... Right now, I'm doing the parade chairman, the vendor chairman, the overall chairman.
Yeah, you're kind of doing you got a lot of plates in the air.
So,
right
now. And there's a lot of prep time.
And one of the things, I got a little blurb too, and this is just, I think, a great illustration of what this is all about. But Patty Morris said that. That Lila Singhos, who, the Singhos are kind of like responsible for getting this whole thing off the ground way back when. Is they're getting older and kind of getting out of things as well, but she bakes cookies for all of the parade entrants,
right?
And there's a need for people to help take up the slack on that.
Yes, and unfortunately, Lila had some medical problems early in the year, so her and John have officially retired from everything. So fortunately, the Fairview Grange is coming to help us,
which is how Patty Morris got involved with the whole thing, and that's why they're. But I just have to say hats off to the Singhoses for all of the work that they did and have been so much involved with it. But I think it's also really unique in the fact how many places would you go where somebody was putting it together? Here's some cookies. Thanks for being in our parade.
Right, and we're also going to have a hamburger vendor down there, which will be cooking food for the parade entrance as they're waiting out there.
I love it. So there's a little bit of a spiff for being in the parade as well, if nothing else.
And speaking about John and Lila, to award them with all the years they've been helping out, they're going to be our grand marshals this year.
Deservedly so. For once, they can legitimately just enjoy the parade, right?
Exactly.
So they're great people. I like John and Lila. They're wonderful, and it's good that they're going to get to be involved with it directly and not have to organize the thing.
That's
about
right. It all fell out of my hands this year.
Thank you, John, for taking on.
Glad to help out.
All right. The pitch for somebody who's never been to this, if they are hearing you talk about, what do you tell folks when you try to invite them to come out as to what to expect?
Yeah, like I said, start off with the pancake breakfast and head down to the vendors. We got all kinds of, crafts and jewelry, some food people. The Joyce store will be open. There's a site there, a 100-plus-year-old store.
Yeah.
And the museum, the Joyce Depot Museum, I think the only one left on the old Milwaukee railroad line, that's going to be open for tours. And, Joyce isn't all that big. That's kind of why we like it, but... then you got to see the fire department, what they're going on. And then the Crescent Bay Lions Club will have their food trailer. And we have a salmon bake. That's another
nice... Right, that goes on from 11:30 to 3. Yes. So if you didn't get enough, you can just eat all day out there.
Right,
basically what it comes down to.
Pies, and whatever order you want to have it in.
And we're going to dial up perfect weather, I think. Not too hot. There have been years where it's been... frankly, too hot for the festival. I think we're going to get a little mix of clouds and sun and kind of where we like it in the Northwest, about, you know, upper 60s to around 70-ish for the weekend. So come on out. It's a great
yes,
event.
It is.
John, congratulations.
Yes,
it sounds like you got it going.
I think
it's
so.
It's almost here, right?
I think so, yes. Right. Yeah, I'll be able to relax around 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon. I'll finally be able to relax until next
good.
Year. So.
Very good. John, thanks for coming in.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. John Kent there, who is organizing basically everything right now. At least he's chairing it. I know there's a cadre of other volunteers that are helping out with it. But Joyce Days this Saturday. Head on out if you can for the Wild Blackberry Festival and really enjoy a true small town festival that's going on. And it starts at 7, goes basically till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and with a raffle drawing to kind of wrap things up. But it's a fun day out there in Joyce. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to be back with more in just a moment.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
Who is Jody Wilkie?
Who is Jody Wilkie?
Who is Jody Wilkie?
Who is Jody Wilkie?
I'm Jody Wilkie. As a nurse, I wear a stethoscope to hear the heart of my patients. I also listen to the whole person so I can use this information to help.
Vote for Jody Wilkie.
You are the heart of our district. You tell me our community is suffering and the numbers don't lie.
Vote for Jody Wilkie.
Many of you are struggling to make your way. Over half our children are on free or reduced lunch. This is not prosperity. Families are being separated. Sons and daughters must move away to find jobs with a living wage.
Vote for Jody Wilkie.
I will fight to revitalize our community. I will reject new taxes and roll back job-killing regulations. I won't allow abusive budget policies or tactics that use a smoke and mirrors approach. For the heart, health, and hope of our district, I'm a single mom with a stethoscope, and I hear you.
Paid for by elect Jody Wilkie, Republican.
Peninsula College Taekwondo class and White Crane Martial Arts brings you the world-famous Hodori Korean Junior National Taekwondo Demonstration Team, August 4th at 5 p.m. at the Peninsula College Gym. Yeah! Kids are just $5, so fill the car and have some fun watching the amazing acrobatics and demonstrations of martial arts skill. Adults are only $10, but August 4th is Coast Guard Day, so all veterans and military are free. August 4th, 5 p.m. at Peninsula College Gym. Be there. Ah! Tickets at the door.
What is that?
It's a police-issue battering ram.
This is your solution to the door sticking?
It's more exciting than crawling in the window.
I told you to go see the staff at Angelus Millwork and Hartnagels. They have the knowledge to get us the right doors for any location in the home.
Yeah!
Ah! What is that?
A police-issue tear gas launcher.
Get outside!
Sorry, I forgot the police-issue gas mask.
Angelus Millwork and Lumber Company and Hartnagel Building Supply. Building the communities of the Olympic Peninsula since 1906.
The Elwha Food and Fuel, located at the corner of Highway 101 and Dry Creek Road, is your full-service convenience store. Your one-stop shop with a huge selection of grab-and-go items and a real walk-in beer cave. Yeah, a real beer cave. All grades of gas at the 12 available pumps, including ethanol-free gas. Plenty of parking and turnarounds for RVs, boats, and trucks. They're open 4 a.m. daily, and the coffee's on. Get your snacks, gas, food, fuel, and ice-cold beverages at the Elwha Food and Fuel, just west of Port Angeles.
I'm always on the go, so I love the Smart Hub mobile app from Clallam PUD, my public power utility. I can pay my bill, report problems, and unlock new ways to save energy through monitoring my usage, all from my phone. It's more than an app, it's a key to saving time and money. Innovation in my pocket, that's power. Download the app and find more ways we are more powerful together at clallampud.net. Clallam County PUD, bringing energy to life.
All right, my next guest, Val Brooks, we talk with her about once a year about this, what I think is a very important program that goes on here in Clallam County. Actually, it goes on everywhere, but we're going to focus on the Clallam County part of it. CASA. You may have heard some PSAs and some other things talked about CASA, but this is really a unique program in that you may not understand that when a kiddo is going through some sort of a, like a foster care arrangement or any sort of a... arrangement where the family's in disarray, they don't have representation usually, which you would think you would get that in this day and age, but that doesn't happen. This is where Catholic kind of steps in, and these are, court-appointed special advocates, for those kids. Val Brooks is the gal in charge of the program here in Clallam County. How many years have you been doing this now?
I have been with Juvenile Services for 22 years now, but I've been the program coordinator for CASA for 12.
Right. All right. Yep. So she knows what she's talking about this. Explain a little bit better than I can about what this is. But I mean, I've tried to do it in a nutshell, but it's more than that.
So CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and our community volunteers are trained to speak for children who have been abused and neglected through no fault of their own and come into the foster care system. And so when a child, when the Department of Children and Family Services believes that a child is at risk and needs the court's protection, they petition the court. And at that time, the court appoints our program. And at the same time, usually the court appoints attorneys for the parents involved, and the social worker has an attorney general, assistant attorney general representing them, and the children don't have anybody other than our CASA volunteers that are appointed to speak for their best interest.
If you didn't have a program like this, and there was a point where there wasn't a program like this, and those kids really didn't have any say as to what was going on with their, you know, what might be in their best interest.
Yeah, no, so the kids don't typically get legal representation appointed to them either. So what happens without a CASA volunteer is that there is nobody speaking to what's in the child's best interest. So there's nobody speaking as to whether visitation is going well for the child, whether they need counseling, whether they need daycare, whether they need educational advocacy. There's nobody speaking for what's in their best interest, where everybody else has, you know, the legal representation speaking for them.
Now, a lot of people will hear this and they'll think, well, but wait a minute, that's in the court proceedings, right? They're supposed to be looking out for the child's best interest, and I think they are, but I think you just kind of touched on it. It's beyond what's in the courtroom, too. I mean, the judge can do only so much in a courtroom, right? Can't go out and follow a kid around.
Absolutely. Right. And actually, CASA was started by a judge out of Seattle that decided that in the 5 minutes that he had in a courtroom to hear about a child's life didn't give him enough information. There wasn't anybody speaking for the child. They were speaking for parental rights and making sure that the state was following their guidelines and laws and procedures, but there's nobody speaking for the child. And so he was not able, did not feel that he was able to make good choices for that child. And he created CASA, the very first CASA out of Seattle, King County. And there's lots of procedure, but there's little information about the children themselves.
Right.
Without the volunteer.
And, you know, anybody that's around kids, they're not going to just directly, they're not going to come to a court and they're not going to get up and say, "Judge, this isn't working."
No, they aren't. And the other thing is that even with legal representation, I'm not trying to diminish that at all, but even with legal representation, there isn't somebody that's going to the child's daycare or going to the child's placement or going to the child's school that is observing visitation, that is going and speaking with their counselor, that is spending a great deal of time getting to know this child and what their needs are. That is what a CASA volunteer does.
Yeah. And in this day and age, anybody who's followed things, the foster care system, unfortunately, is
broken.
It's broken and blossoming with amounts of caseload.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of these kids that are going through it, and a lot of it is, I think, just, you know, reflective of our society kind of falling apart
right
now in a lot of ways. So there's a need for this program, probably more so than even in the past.
Yeah. The need for CASA volunteers or child representation it just increases every single day. Even if it increases just by one child, it's significant. But every single day, there are kids in care every single day. There's nearly 200 children just in Clallam County alone that have come into the dependency system because they've been abused or neglected. And when the children aren't being protected, aren't being watched out for, or there's a system that's completely overwhelmed, bad things happen to our children.
And I was going to say, this really, a lot of people could look at this as a way that you're going to keep these kids from going down a bad road later.
Absolutely.
Because I think there's evidence to show that if you don't take care of them and nurture them when they're, you know, growing
Absolutely.
Bodies, they're going to turn into bad things
yeah,
later.
Yeah, our statistics show very clearly that a child that's involved in the dependency system that has a CASA volunteer is more likely to graduate high school, is less likely to become involved in the juvenile justice system, is less likely to suffer from multiple foster placements, and is more likely to succeed in life even as an adult, let alone making it through their childhood without suffering any longer.
What's unique about this program, too, and then after we take a break, the bottom of the hour, we'll come back and talk about the real reason we have you here is that we need volunteers and kind of what that entails. But, you know, every case is a little bit different, isn't it?
Every single one.
You're not going to, if you're a volunteer, you're not necessarily going to be doing, you know, Johnny's not, may need these types of visitation from you, while Sally may need something different.
Absolutely, and that goes even just between siblings. So when a CASA takes a case, they take a sibling, typically take a sibling group. And so even if you have two or three siblings, each child needs separate advocacy because every child has separate needs. And that goes between siblings, it goes amongst families, it goes all the way through the community. So every case that a volunteer is assigned to is going to have different challenges and different needs that won't be noticed or met without that volunteer.
Okay, so give us, paint a picture how this works when we go through the court proceedings, you know, in one of these. How that... CASA volunteer, you know, are they there in the courtroom? Are they just sending in reports? How does that usually work?
So what a CASA volunteer does is meets with the children at least twice a month. They monitor all the other services. They monitor the parent services as well. And they get to know a child well enough that they can properly advocate for them. And then what that means is they submit a written report, which we teach them how to do, and then also appear at every court hearing. And so a CASA volunteer will appear in court with us, one of the CASA program representatives, and they have the same legal standing as a parent or a parent attorney and are able to speak freely as to what is actually happening with that child and what needs to happen to make that child healthy.
And then I would think typically the judge or the commissioner, whoever's hearing these cases, is going to ask the CASA
Absolutely.
At some point, engage them, I guess,
Absolutely.
As to, so what do you think?
Absolutely. Oh. We've been blessed in the 22 years that I've been with Juvenile Services, we have been blessed with two commissioners that are very, very child focused on multiple levels. And both of them have always valued what a CASA has to say and what they have to offer in the life of a child. And so Commissioner Bazin will always ask us, a CASA volunteer, if they have anything to add, if they have any concerns, and they listen. It's not a token person that's sitting there. It's somebody that is actively making a difference in the life of that child.
Now, unfortunately, I would imagine that you have cases where you have a volunteer, and then you may be able to see cases where there isn't a volunteer because you
absolutely
right. I mean, and because you don't have enough volunteers,
absolutely.
And we'll get to that in a minute. But have you been able in all these years to really kind of see a big, you know,
there's
difference,
a huge difference
as to what's going on?
Absolutely, there's a huge difference in a child's life when there's a volunteer assigned. When there's not a volunteer actually assigned, then the children get program staff, myself or Jennifer Petty or one of the other two new volunteer coordinators, that just simply do triage for them. We don't get to go out and see the kids. We don't get to go and observe visitation. We don't get to go and know them well enough to appropriately advocate for them. We are just literally doing triage for that kiddo. It's certainly an injustice compared to what they're getting from a volunteer.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a break. When I come back, we'll talk about the need for volunteers. And it's not really as tough as it might sound.
No.
I think there's some pretty good training that goes with it. And Val's going to probably tell us a little bit about the reward that comes with that, because I think most of the volunteers, you talk to them, really do get something out of it by what they're doing as well. So Val Brooks, who is the coordinator for the CASA program here in Clallam County, and we'll talk a bit more about that and how you might be able to help them out right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
You can tell from the minute you walk in. You know the place where everybody knows your name?
That's what it's all about at the Elwha River Casino. Not only will you find over 100 of your favorite slots and fun new ways to play, you'll find your friends at the Elwha too. There's always great specials at the River's Edge Grill and a very rewarding rewards club. The Elwha Rewards Club is free and easy to join, and you're in for all kinds of fun. Member parties, hot seat drawings, tons of giveaways, double point days, and more. If you're 55 or older, every Wednesday is your day. Earn 2 times the points, get 30% off in the grill, and you gotta have those hot seats. Drawings from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every Wednesday. Let's see. Your favorite slots, a delicious deli, fun promotions, and everybody knows your name? You know the place. It's all at the Elwha River Casino, the friendliest casino on the peninsula, just west of Port Angeles.
Have you been in Easy Pond East lately? If not, make it a point to stop in and see all of their new merchandise soon. And if you can't seem to find the time to stop by, you can check out all of their great items online. Just visit buya.com. That's B-U-Y-A.com. A pawn shop only website where you can simply find your favorite pawn shop and browse their items right online. Almost everything in store you can find online at buya.com. Check it out and see what new items Easy Pond East has for you.
The new Quarter Pounder with cheese is all new at McDonald's. Enjoy a juicy, cheesy, fresh beef Quarter Pounder at your nearby McDonald's.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Washington Army National Guard. Aired by the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Opening statements are underway in the federal trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. He's accused of tax and bank fraud.
Prosecutors want to prove that Manafort laundered at least $60 million while consulting for pro-Russian Ukrainian politicians, basically living the life of a king. Luxury cars, beachfront properties.
ABC's Kira Phillips. Virginia Senator Mark Warner, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, says he has a high level of confidence that Russia is behind a disinformation campaign discovered on Facebook. The social network says more than 30 pages suspected of being fake have been taken down. A day before a Texas company is expected to publish blueprints for making 3D printed guns online, the State Department says that information has legally been available since 2013.
Whether people like it or not, it is legal for American citizens to download this information.
That's State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert. Critics say the untraceable guns could be printed by people who can't legally buy them. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Here's your AccuWeather.com forecast. Sunny to partly cloudy this afternoon. Today's high 69. Clear tonight, low 52. A blend of sun and clouds tomorrow. Wednesday's high 65. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 50. And Thursday, showers and thunderstorms in some spots in the morning, then a mix of sun and clouds. Thursday's high 64. Friday, sun with areas of low clouds. That day's high 67. For AccuWeather.com, I'm Sally Sherman.
All right, we're talking about CASA. That's court-appointed special advocates. These are volunteers who engage with kids who are going through the foster care program to make sure that they are being advocated for through the court system. Otherwise, they wouldn't be. Sometimes that means that those kids may not be able to let the court know that, you know what, this plan that's going on isn't quite working, or my school's not right, or the daycare situation's bad, or some things like that. Now, the reason Val Brooks is here, she's the coordinator for CASA here in Clallam County, is that there is a dire need for volunteers. Now, she mentioned that they actually have had a little uptick in the number of volunteers. However, she also said, oh, that's great news. And then she said, yeah, but we need at least 50 more to actually be up to standard, even with nice little run of more volunteers. So let's talk about what it takes to be a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Some people hear this and they're probably hearing this story and they're going, I don't know if I could do that. That sounds a little over, you know, that's pretty deep water.
Yep. Well, one of the things that we hear most probably is so many people say, oh, I don't think I could do that. I don't want to take everybody home, which we do. I mean, people get into this line of volunteer work because they care about kids. Mm-hmm. And so It's tough, but really, you just have to have an interest in helping and a heart in making a difference. And so we will train community the sole purpose of CASA is to have community lay people trained in speaking for the best interest. So we don't need attorneys. We don't need social workers. We don't need counselors. We want a lay community person that we can bring in and train to national standards. It's a 30-hour core training with 12 hours of annual ongoing training as well, and a lot of support from our program. And a willingness to learn and speak up for a kiddo, and that's all you need.
What is the commitment hour-wise after you get through training, typically?
Okay, so when you first get a case, there's a lot of research that you have to do, so you probably spend 20 hours a month in that first month getting to reading through all the material, contacting all the people, and then beyond that, you're really at 8 to 10 hours a month.
So it's not terribly
huge.
Bad,
no,
right?
It's really not, and that depends on how many kids that you have in a sibling group or how many cases you take. But you really, our volunteers really get to choose their caseloads, and so they can't go over a maximum, but we don't have a minimum for them. And so
if you wanted to take just one you
child,
could.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. So it's based on their ability, availability, and ability to step in and be active. And
well, and the training, from what you said, you really kind of don't want to turn people into, technically.
Absolutely not.
You want the least technical folks to got to be in this thing, because
we've
that's really
lots of
how it works.
Technical people
that can help on the back
on it
end
already.
Of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, so really you don't need to be, this highly proficient, legalese wordsmith.
Absolutely
in any
not.
Sense of the word. In fact, the opposite may be better.
Absolutely. We are looking for somebody right out of our community that we can teach in standards, national standards on how to actually do the work. But the purpose of a CASA is to having somebody that's not, doesn't, kind of doesn't have a bone in the fight as far mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. there's no alternative motives, that we aren't governed by strict guidelines as far as what we can and can't ask for. We are normal, common people that are minimally trained, 30 hours of training, that are bringing common sense and oversight to something that nobody else can.
So before we let you go, there's a rewarding side of this as well. You can, I know, speak for people who do this, and they come back to you, I'm sure, and say, wow, I get something out of this.
Absolutely. It's hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard work. It's very hard work. It can be emotionally challenging at times, but there's nothing more rewarding than having a positive impact on the life of a child. And so even if it doesn't turn out perfect, it's better because of you. And I can't think of anything else that would be better to bring out of a volunteer position or life work than making the difference in the life of a child.
Right. It is, as we said in the first segment with you, it's unfortunate that there's a need for so many more volunteers. Let's hope we can get a whole bunch more.
Yes.
So how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way to get going? Even if you had a question about something,
absolutely.
Right?
So the best way to get a hold of one, there's four of us in the office now. The best way is to contact Juvenile Services at 360-565-2621. And our wonderful receptionist will make sure that you talk to a person. We also have a Friends of CASA Facebook page that has a ton of information and our training schedule on it as well. You can reach me directly at 360-565-2644. We are in the office Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. And so we should be able to be reached any day. And you can email us as well at vbrooks@co.clam.wa.us. And that'll go directly to me. So,
all right. Or you can call me here at the station.
Absolutely.
I've got all of that, and I can get you in touch as well, because we'd love to get a whole bunch more of these folks. It's great training. It's a great way to help kids out. And,
absolutely.
And you can do as much or as little in it as you choose.
Absolutely.
Which is, I think, kind
absolutely.
Of anything. Val, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having
Always
me.
Always fun to talk with you. And I know over the years I've talked with Val and the others in her office, and they take very good care of everybody that comes through as well.
Thanks.
So Val Brooks, who's the coordinator for CASA, it's a terrific program. And if you're looking for a great way to give back to the community and help out kids in our community that really do need some help, this one might be a good one to embark on. We'll take a break. We're going to talk a little bit about the Hidori Little Tigers coming to town in our next segment. Stick around.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
If you're between 6 and 19, this message is for you. Let Clallam Transit take you on an adventure this summer. The Summer Youth Pass is back. You can ride anywhere in the county from Memorial Day through Labor Day for only $20. Jefferson, Grays Harbor, Inner City Olympia, and Mason County Transits will also honor this pass for travel around the Olympic Peninsula. Passes are available at their regular outlets now or at the CTS offices or by mail. Let your summer adventure begin. For more information, call 452-4511 or 1-800-858-3747.
I'm Jody Wilkie, and your vote really counts. The primary sets the stage for a desperately needed change in Olympia. Let's build the momentum we need for victory in November. For the heart, health, and hope of our district, let's win this thing.
Paid for by elect Jody Wilkie, Republican.
Your finish comes first at First Race.
It's so hard to find a good time to wash your car or truck. Why not let the friendly folks at First Race Car Wash do the job in minutes? Get a wash and polish wax and fill up with high-quality Union 76 gas. Diesel's also available at First Race Car Wash.
You're a winner every time when you've got that First Race shine.
Ooh, your finish comes first at First Race.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic's Medical Edge.
Medical Edge, presented by Olympic Medical Center.
Do you have a minor injury or illness but can't get in to see your regular doctor? Olympic Medical Physicians walk-in clinics provide same-day, non-emergency services at 840 North 5th Avenue in Squim and 907 Georgiana Street in Port Angeles. The clinics are open 7 days a week. For operating hours, call the Squim Clinic at 582-2930 or the Port Angeles Clinic at 565-0550. Or visit olympicmedical.org.
Texting behind the wheel is more than just a distraction. Mayo Clinic research shows texting actually changes brain waves.
In the front of the head, we saw this rhythm occur repeatedly and consistently with text messaging.
Dr. William Tatum and colleagues found an altered brain rhythm by accident while performing routine EEG studies of people with epilepsy who happened to be texting during the test. Dr. Tatum says the changes seen in the brain rhythm are temporary and not likely to be dangerous.
Lends more support to the fact that texting and driving is probably something to be avoided.
Dr. Tatum and his team are studying triggers and the role of emotions in this new text-related rhythm. He says more information may have implications for areas such as gaming and learning more about the effect of computers on brain function. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're going to talk a little martial arts and demonstration coming up next. The good folks at White Crane Martial Arts bringing back the world-famous Hidori Little Tigers. This is a Korean demonstration team. And let's see, how long has it been since the Hidori group's been in town?
5 years.
It's been 5 years. All right. So you're bringing them back.
Yes. We're not just bringing them back. There's going to be some masters here from Colorado, Las Vegas, Paulsbo, Thailand, Korea. And some of them are going to be promoted. Okay. And so that's a big event for them. And we're also having a tournament in the morning. And so this is something we've never done before. I'm having a tournament in the morning called a Hamdadong, which means everything martial art except fighting. And so that way it doesn't take all day and there's not very many injuries and you get to see the artistic side. So the people who win the board breaking and the weapons the forms will later on that evening be able to show their winning demonstrations during the Hadori breaks.
Nice.
So you'll see the Korean demo team. And keep in mind, the demo team, for those who haven't seen them before, are all kids 10 to 14 years old. And they're the best of the best from the city of Seoul, which is the world's biggest city. And they've all been farmed out to different families that belong to White Crane Martial Arts. So two of them staying here, two of them staying there. And some of the parents are saying, well, what are we going to do to entertain them or whatever? And I'm saying, most of these kids have never been in a house. Most of them have never been to a grocery store. You just do what you do and let them see
and
America.
Absorb this whole thing as well. Yeah. Now, explain a bit about how they, because I remember when they were here last time.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. What's the age on most of these little tigers?
They're 10 to 14.
They're not big kids. They're, middle schoolers at best and elementary school age as well. When did they start? I mean, what has been the rigors, I guess, of their training to get to where they're at right now?
Okay, well, Seoul has 25 million people, and virtually everybody learns Taekwondo in the public school system. So there's hundreds of thousands of black belts. These kids go to various different schools in various different neighborhoods. And then if they want to make the Hadori team to travel to America, they go to a big tryouts. So these tryouts sift down and get the best of the best from all over Korea. So these kids will continue to train with their local school, but on Saturdays they go to the Hadori headquarters school, and Grandmaster Lim trains them for 8 hours, and they work up these demonstrations pretty much based on the individual skill sets of these kids.
Okay.
So like this year I noticed there's one kid that's got a nice triple tornado. And that sounds like something you don't want to order in a bar, right?
It does, right.
But a triple tornado is you do a kick, spin around, kick, spin around, kick. Boom, 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 boom. So since he's got that, you know he's going to have that in the show. And there'll be some self-defense stuff. Last time they were here, they did a big musical number to that Gangnam style.
Yeah, right. Because that was big then.
It was big then. Yeah. And I don't know. They may do that again. I don't know. It seems like they had most of the audience up doing it eventually. But, it's going to be exciting times.
All right. So Robert Nichols is here in the studio and here in Port Angeles and does, teaches this as well. How did you get involved with getting them here as part of the tour, so to speak? Because a lot of people would say, they're coming to Port Angeles?
Well, for one thing, I outrank everybody.
That helps.
Yeah. There's been, in the whole history of Taekwondo, I'm the 362nd ninth degree black belt.
Okay.
So there's not that many that are alive, for one thing, and then there's not that many in America. So when they want to do something in America,
they're going to call you because you're on the speed dial.
Yeah, and also one of my good friends from my competitive days was a heavyweight champion who fought on the U.S. team when I was fighting on the Micronesian team at the World Championships back in 77. Okay. So we go way back. Yeah. And I never had to fight him because he was a heavyweight and I was a welterweight. And so it's pretty easy to be good friends with another champion when you don't ever have to fight each other, right? And he called me from Thailand and said, hey, haven't seen you in a long time. Here's what we're doing. And we'd like to do the Northwest. And once they were here, they fell in love with it because if you take a kid from the biggest city on the planet to New York or L.A. or Chicago, they're just going to another big city. But they came here. We took them up Merrimer Falls, and they didn't, in their mind, knew that a tree could be that big.
Yep.
And then, big addition this year. We've never taken them crabbing before. And so we're going to spend a day out on the spit, and we'll take them out two or three at a time and let them watch us
actually do
pull up.
And they've never seen that before.
Hey, yeah. You know, when we see like a couple little keepers and a bunch of females that you got to throw back and say bummer, but for them, it's going to be
That's going to be a big deal.
It's going to be a story. They're going to see a beautiful little town. And let's face it, half of America lives in big cities And half of America lives in little towns like this.
Right.
This is the other side of America that people from the other side of the world probably don't really see and don't really know.
Right.
And they'll have their time. They're going to go to Portland, so they'll see a big city. And then they're going to go to Las Vegas.
And they're going to see whatever you want to call that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got no idea, Todd. That's Las Vegas. But they're
going to be here for a good chunk of it, and I think that's good. Now, the public gets a chance. We should point out, this is going to be up at Peninsula College. You take over the gym there, basically. It turns into it's crazy.
That's the only
thing I can display, because there's stuff happening all over the place when this goes on. But 5 o'clock this Saturday, you want to be up at the gym, and this is where you're going to see all of this demonstration happen.
Yep, and because I am a Coast Guard veteran, and August 4th happens to be Coast Guard Day.
Right.
So I am making this free for Coast Guard personnel and military personnel. We're also, my wife and I are in the Marine Corps League. So we do a lot of the bell ringing and the funeral ceremonies with the American Legion Freedom Riders. So I'm inviting all my veteran brothers to come on down for free, and sisters. I can't forget that. Because my wife's actually the Gunny Sergeant Marine that got me involved with the Marine Corps League. So. We do a tremendous amount of stuff with the Marine Corps League, with the Taekwondo, to try and make the community a better place. And I hope we're doing a good job, but we're going to fill the stands with people and veterans. Tickets are available at the door. For $5 a piece, what else are you going to take a kid to go do?
I was going to say, it's a pretty cool thing. And you know what? It's clean fun, and it's and I think for you, you're hoping some people may see this and be inspired by, it's acrobatic and stuff, but there's a discipline in Taekwondo, just like any of the martial arts, that I think we're kind of lacking this, and might be a good thing if some of our younger generation was able to get, it's not about the fighting. It's about the mentality, isn't it?
Well, there is no bad martial art.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to do it wrong is to sit home on the couch watching cartoons when you could be at the class. And you look at Port Angeles right now, for a town this size, look what we got. We got a really good Hapkido school right up the street here. We got a really good sword fighting, karate program, taekwondo program down at White Crane. My friends up on 8th Street, you know, that have the Fifth Element MMA, good quality program with the yoga next door. We've got really, really top-notch, world-class martial art all over Port Angeles. And who'd have thought, you know, that we would end up being a mecca where here we go. I've got people, masters, who have been involved all their lives are coming here to become grandmasters. Because I'm the one that's promoting them.
And you're here.
And my friends from the Jeet Kune in Korea are bringing the certificates with them. And it was pretty easy to talk him into coming up here.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm dangling that, you know, I got your grandmaster certificate here. Right. Come on up and get it.
I'll come on by. Yeah, right.
But these guys have known me for decades and decades, and it's a wonderful thing. And Saturday night, 5 o'clock, up at the college gym, it's definitely going to be exciting, entertaining, fun. We've got some things we're doing this that we've never done before. So naturally things can go wrong, but things can also be surprisingly right.
It could be just great.
I tend to wing it, because what I find is you can work 10 times harder for those few people that are going to be curmudgeons, and you're not going to please them anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if people show up wanting to have a good time, they're going to have a good time. That's the big thing. And the audience generally shows up ready to have a good time, and so we're going to have a good time.
And it is a spectacular show.
I sure hope so.
All right, the Hidori Little Tigers, and then many others, I should just say, and many others will be involved on the ticket. The Korean demonstration team, of course, will be the highlight of things. Saturday, Peninsula College Gym, 5 p.m. Get up there. It's $10 for adults, kids 5 to 11, $5. And if you're a veteran Coast Guard, get in for free.
That's right. I mean, that doesn't mean we won't take a donation.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to say, you will take some money if you got it, right?
Oh, yes. We will certainly take a donation if we need to. But otherwise, this is just going to be a wonderful thing for the traveling kids. It's going to be a wonderful thing for my host families to expose their kids to children from another culture. It's just all in all going to be good for the whole town, I hope.
All right. Robert Nichols, good to see you again.
be there.
The Grandmaster in town from White Crane Martial Arts, and always does a great program. Thanks for coming down and putting this together again. Mm-hmm. Maybe it won't be another 5 years before we see him again, but might not be.
Ask my wife. I think it's going to be at least 5 years before we do this again.
Robert,
thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap things up right after this. Welcome back to the program. August almost here. Summer in full swing. If you haven't taken one yet, it's time for a vacation, right? Why is it that once we unpack, get going, a lot of us are just constantly checking our work emails or calling into the office to see how things are going? Are you doing your job or doing yourself a disservice by doing that? ABC's Daria Alvinger sat down with the district president of Account Temps, Bill Driscoll, to get his thoughts on working on vacation.
We should be thinking about fun in the sun or fun at the lake or fun in the mountains or fun abroad, wherever we're going on vacation. But why can't we seem to leave work behind?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I mean, the good news is that technology allows you to do your job anywhere. The bad news is technology allows you to do your job anywhere. And to many people that are really glued to their phone, particularly younger workers, it's just hard to ignore those incoming emails or texts that may have to do with work. And so they tend to stay quite connected even when they're supposed to be unplugging and enjoying themselves.
So do we find a demographical shift in who can actually really kick back when they're on vacation, people who know what it's like not to have the electronic leash?
When you look at workers 55 and older, 60% actually reported not checking in at all while on vacation, compared to 31% of millennials. So you have a group of people that actually experienced work when cell phones and email didn't exist. They remember, and many of them probably enjoyed when you could really unplug. And so they choose and proactively, I think it takes a proactive choice to really try to unplug. And so, yes, you do see a demographic kind of shift, but talking to your teammates, teamwork, they'll take care of your stuff while you're on vacation. If you'll take care of their stuff while they're on vacation, you really should be able to unplug and get away for a period of time. I mean, not too many people have, months and months of vacation time. So we're really talking about a few days or maybe a week here and there. So it should be something that some prior preparation, you should be able to enjoy your time.
And it's not just something that you're doing because you're doing it for your own enjoyment. It really is important to your work well-being, isn't it, to get away?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, I think that getting a break and clearing your head and having balance in your life too, whether it's a significant other, partner, spouse, children, I think it's important to spend time in other aspects of your life other than just your work life to make sure that, you have that balance going forward.
What kind of advice do you have for bosses who never take time off, who expect their team to do the same?
Well, I think that any boss or manager position at some level, and oftentimes many levels, is a lead by example type of position. So if you're burning the midnight oil every day and never taking vacation, you're creating a culture that's very hard to stick with, frankly, for many people, right? Having a clear vacation policy and encouraging your staff to use that time away from the office, making sure that you do take some vacation time, that you delegate tasks to your staff, and that you encourage teamwork and cross training so that people can cover for one another, and that there's just really good communication, because if there is good communication, the work can get done with us out of the office. And as we know, if there's an emergency or a really, really tough situation where you do need to be involved in, it's pretty easy to track people down. I manage a lot of people, and I think that in my world, if I'm going to go completely 100% checkout, I definitely let my direct reports and my boss know that. Otherwise, I'm accessible, but I do try to unplug at some level.
There's those emails, Bill, and I mean, we can't stop looking at our work emails. Any advice about that?
My advice, if you can't stop looking at your work emails, is to look at them, but don't start engaging and responding. Some people find that looking at their emails and seeing what's going on actually puts their mind more at ease, kind of like watching the game from the stands. Just don't engage.
We're the talk of the town. Thanks for being part of the conversation on News Radio KONP, Port Angeles.